May I have your attention? It's a great honor to welcome to the campus a woman of a dazzling variety of talents and accomplishments, Maya Angelou. As you know, she's author of the best-selling autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and the immediate occasion for her appearance today is the recent publication by Random House of her first book of poetry called Just Give Me a Cool Drink of Water Before I Die. Miss Angelou has recently returned from Sweden, where she participated in the filming of her own script about American defectors from the Vietnam War. She's also written and produced a TV series on African traditions in American life called Blacks, Blues, Black, which has been aired locally on KQED. She's written for newspapers in Cairo and Ghana. She's taught at the University of Ghana and has worked widely in theater and dance groups in this country. She's also served as Northern Coordinator. What did I do?
Oh, you did. You did.
She's also served as Northern Coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference at the request of Martin Luther King, Jr. James Baldwin has said about Miss Angelou's poems, black, bitter, and beautiful, she speaks of our survival. People can only survive by facing themselves and each other. Sister Maya has been there and back. She knows something about herself and she knows something about us. And this is not the last time we will be listening to her voice. It's a great pleasure to give you Maya Angelou.
Good afternoon. I'm very pleased to see so many people here. I'm very grateful to you for coming. Charlie Brown says, I need all the friends I can get, even fair weather friends. So. Oh, I see. Is this on?
No, that's just
it's just a prop?
See?
You're being taped, but it's
oh, I see. All right. Okay. Poetry is asked to be mystical, lyrical, magical, and musical. And more than we know, we have internalized poetry, especially the black Americans. Some of the great poetry of this country is to be found in the spirituals and the blues. There's a line from a blues which says, if you don't believe I'm sinking, look what a hole I'm in. And if you don't believe I love you, look what a fool I've been. Now that's poetry. I prefer to write poetry only when I have to. I'm trying to be a poet. And trying to be a poet, I believe, is like trying to grow up. At 85, you're still trying to mature, you know. I use poetry as that secret place somewhere behind my kneecap, I think it is. I go back there and try to find what a condition is all about. The women who have very high moral standards in Pips, they think, and after 30 find themselves unmarried, unattended, finally decide that the moral standards in Pips just don't function. so they begin to have relationships with married men or people like that, I mean, something. And there's a poem which says, they went home and told their wives that never once in all their lives had they met a girl like me. But they went home. They said my house was licking clean. No word I spoke was ever mean. I had an air of mystery. But they went home. My praises were on all men's lips. They liked my smile, my wit, my hips. They'd spend one night, or two, or three. But. Yeah. Living it was a little harder than writing it. Right, oh. There's a... hopscotch danced or played or jumped anywhere in the world is dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. I wrote a poem called Harlem Hopscotch, and whether it's danced in Harlem, USA, New York, or Harlem, Hunter's Point, or Harlem, Southside, Chicago, the rhythm is more complex than dun-dun-dun, you know. So I tried to find what kids were thinking when they jumped hopscotch in Harlem. And it says, one foot down in hop is hot, good things for the ones it's got, another jump not to the left, everybody for himself. In the air, now both feet down, since you're black, don't stick around. Food is gone, rent is due, cuss and cry, and then jump too. Everybody's out of work, hold for three and not twist and jerk. Cross the line, they count you out, but that's what hopping's all about. Both feet down, the game is done, they think I lost and I know I won. There's a poem, again, for women. Well, I'll just read it. It says, I sit a throne upon the time when kings are rare and consorts slide into the grease of scullery maids. So gaily wave that crown of light astride the royal chair, which blinds the commoners who genuflect and then cross their fingers. The years will lie beside me on the queenly bed, and coupled we'll await the age's dust to cake my lids again. And when the rousing kiss is given, why must it always be a fairy and only just a prince? I wrote a poem for a lady who rides the 8th Avenue bus in New York, who has two shopping bags, and I know she's a maid. If you don't know the black features, you think that she's smiling, but she's not smiling. She simply extends her lips. She goes, the bus stops too short, she goes. And I thought how effective that strategy had been for 300 years. To smile when we weren't tickled and to scratch when we didn't itch. And how the young people today are saying no more, no, I'm drug and I'm just drug, okay? But it was a strategy and a very important one. So there's this poem. When I think about myself, I almost laugh myself to death. My life has been one great big joke, a dance was walked. A song was spoke. I laugh so hard, I nearly choke when I think about myself. 60 years in these folks' world, the child I works for calls me girl. I say, yes, ma'am, for working's sake. I'm too proud to bend and too poor to break, so I laugh until my stomach ache when I think about myself. My folks can make me split my side. I laugh so hard I nearly died. The tales they tell sound just like lying. They grow the fruit but eat the rind. I laugh until I start to cry when I think about myself. A lady friend of mine who is a writer has a son who I've known since he was about, 12, I suppose. And he's gotten strung out. And because he cares for me, she asked if I would speak to him. So he came over to visit me in New York City, and I tried to talk to him about dope. And I realized, even as I was talking, it was like a nightmare where the words don't come out. They have no tone. They have no flesh reality. I could almost see the words going by him like that. And I thought, Jesus, if I was a man on the street, what would I say to a young person if I could really, for that moment when you can communicate to somebody, jump in there and say what I wanted to say? So I wrote a poem called Letter to an Aspiring Junkie. Let me hip you to the streets, Jim. Ain't nothing happening. Maybe some tomorrow's gone up in smoke. Raggedy preachers telling a joke to lonely, sunless old ladies' maids. Ain't nothing happening. Nothing shaking, Jim. Oh, there's a slew of young cats riding that cold white horse. A gray old monkey on their back, of course, does rodeo tricks. No haps, baby. No haps. There's an old-time pimp with a space-age conk setting up some fool for a game of tonk or poker or get him dead and alive. The streets, you climb in the streets like you climb in the ass end of a lion. Then it's fine. Then it's a boogaloo and a shingaling. Then it's African dreams on a buck and a wing and a prayer. That's the streets, baby. Ain't nothing happening. There's a poem called Miss Scarlet, Mr. Rhett, and Other Latter-day Saints. Novitiates sing Ave before the whipping post, crisscrossing their breasts and tear-stained robes in the yielding dark. Animated by human sacrifice, Golgotha in blackface, priests glow purely white on the bas-relief of a plantation shrine. Oh, sing, you are gone but not forgotten. Hail, scarlet, requisat in pace. God make us smear brushes in blood, gall, to etch frescoes on your ceilinged tomb. Oh, sing, Hosanna, King Cotton. Shadowed couplings of infidels tempt stigmata from the nipples of your true believers. Chant Mater Noster, hallowed little Eva. Ministers make novena with the charred bones of four very small, very black, very young children. Intone D-I-X-I-E and guard the relics of your intact hymen, daily putting to death into eternity the stud, his seed, his seed, his seed. Oh, sing hallelujah, pure scarlet, blessed Rhett, the martyr. There's a boy in New York at the 8th Avenue subway downtown, Times Square, about 13 or 14-year-old black boy who sells directions. That is. You get off the subway and say, excuse me, which way is 6th Avenue? He said, that'll be about 20 cents. It's out, really out. Well, I was saying that to somebody, and the person says, well, that's really wonderful because it proves the American scene is still on and we're still. So I said, no, it proves something about survival, you know? We were brought here, first blacks brought here in 1619, a year before the Mayflower docked. Hmm? And it's sad to say that the American Indians, to whose continent we were brought strangers in chains and slaves more so, are now less than 600,000 in the United States. Black Americans upwards of 30 million, and that's a conservative estimate. Because I have a friend who says he knows for a fact there are more than 30 million blacks in the Baptist church. So that... So, there's a little boy I saw shining shoes in New York by 2 o'clock in the morning down in Times Square. And I knew that the monies he made would help his family. At least, if he didn't give it to the parents outright, at least he wouldn't have to insist or beg them for a pair of shoes because he could buy them. He's a very arrogant little cat, you know. So I wrote a poem for him called Times Square Shoeshine Composition. I'm the best that ever done it. Pow, pow. That's my title and I won it. Pow, pow. I ain't lying, I'm the best. Pow, pow. Come and put me to the test. Pow, pow. I'll shine them till they squeak. Pow, pow. In the middle of next week. Pow, pow. I'll shine them till they whine. Pow, pow. Till they call me mastermind. Pow, pow. For a quarter and a dime. Pow, pow. You can get a deluxe shine. Pow. Say you want to pay a quarter. Pow. You can give that to your daughter. I ain't playing dozens, mister. You can give it to your sister. Any way you want to read it. Maybe it's your mama need it. Say I'm like a greedy bigot. I'm a capitalist, can't you dig it? I went to a fashion show once, years ago. And I really mean once, too. This is like early 60s. And a man had approached me to come to this fashion show as a guest of honor. I wasn't in that bag then. And I said no, but another friend, a writer, great writer, John Killens, said, no, Maya, do go. This is the first time this type of bougie has ever asked a black woman. I wore my hair natural for many, many years before that. And it means that there's a breakthrough, you know, go. So I went and the woman at the desk looked at me because I wore African dress and Yeah. So I was about to leave when the man who had invited me said, no, please come in, Miss Angelo. Oh, boy, we're really doing it now. So I sat down, and all those women kept nudging each other. And the lady who moderated, interviewed, commentator, described, you know, who said, and now this, she said things like, and this is what me lady will wear to the country club. And this was just after Ralph Bunche had been refused, his son had been refused membership in the Forest Hills Country Club. Uh-huh. Ralph Bunche, his son had been playing there on the court, and he liked it so much, he liked the pro teacher, so he asked his dad to get him a membership. No good, and Ralph Bunche was undersecretary at the time. I thought, okay, I'll write about you. So I have a poem called Sepia Fashion Show. Their hair pomaded, faces jaded, bones protruding hip-wise, the models strutted, backed up and butted, then stuck their mouths out lip-wise. They had nasty manners, held like banners, while they looked down their nose-wise. I'd see them in hell before they'd sell me one thing they're wearing, clothes-wise. The black bourgeois who all say yaw when yeah is what they're meaning should look around both up and down before they set out preening. Indeed, they swear, that's what I'll wear when I go country clubbing. I'd remind them, please look at them knees they got at Miss Ann Scrubbin'. There's a poem called On Working with White Liberals. I don't ask the Foreign Legion or anyone to win my freedom or to fight my battle better than I can. Though there is one thing that I cry for, I believe enough to die for, that is every man's responsibility to man. I'm afraid they'll have to prove first that they'll watch the black man move first, then follow him with faith to kingdom come. This rocky road's not paved for us, so I'll believe in liberals' aid for us when I see a white man load a black man's gun.
Bad.
Right on.
There's a poem about war. Teach, isn't that something? We saw beyond our seeming these days of bloodied screaming, of children lying bloated out where the lilies floated, of men all noosed and dangling within the temple strangling. Our guilt's gray fungus growing, we knew and lied our knowing. Deafened all unwilling, we aided in the killing. And now our souls lie broken, dry tablets without token. The poems in the book are separated into two sections. One, they're both about love. One is love eros and one is love agape. One is that agape. Yeah, it's a very hip word.
Agape.
This poem is called The Mothering Blackness, and it's for a woman who returns after a disastrous relationship with a white man. She came home running, back to the mothering blackness, deep in the smothering blackness, white tears, icicle, gold planes on her face. She came home running. She came down creeping, here to the black arms waiting, now to the warm heart waiting. Rhyme of alien dreams befrost her rich brown face. She came down creeping. She came home blameless, black yet as Hagar's daughter, tall as was Sheba's daughter. Threats of northern winds you see die on the desert's face. She came home blameless. Love, yes. This is called No Loser, No Weeper, and I don't think I have to tell you about it. I hate to lose something, then she bent her head. Even a dime, I wish I was dead. I can't explain it, and no more to be said, except I hate to lose something. I lost a doll once and cried for a week. She could open her eyes and do all but speak. I believe she was took by some doll snatch and sneak, and I tell you, I really hate to lose something. A watch of mine once got up and walked away. It had 12 numbers on it for the time of day. I can't explain it, no more than I can say, except I really hate to lose something. Now, if I felt that way about a watch and a toy, what you think I feel about my lover boy? I ain't threatening you, madam. But he is my evening's joy, and I really hate to lose something. The the book is dedicated to two men, Amber Sam and the Zorro Man. I know them both, but I hope they don't know each other. They are gentlemen I have loved greatly. And I didn't realize I was making a kind of coup, a kind of, you know, one man, one lady upmanship, until the book was actually out and Sam said, who in the, is Zorro? And Zorro called and said, look, I don't want to be a drag, but who in the, I thought, I got you. This is to a man. My man is black, golden amber, changing, warm mouths of brandy fine, cautious sunlight rocked on a whirl of French tobacco, coughing laughter rocked on a whirl of French tobacco, graceful turns on woolen stilts, secretive, a cat's eye, southern, plump and tender with navy bean sullenness. And did I say tender? The gentleness of big cat stalks through stubborn bush. And did I mention amber? The heatless fire consuming itself again, anew, into ever neverlessness. My man is amber, changing, always into itself. New now, new, still itself, still. I hate to lose something. Okay. There's a poem called Riot's 60s. Your friend Charlie Pawn Shop was a glorious blaze. I heard the flames lick then eat the trays of zircons mounted in gold-red alloys. Eastern clothes and stolen furs burned in the attic. Radios and TVs crackled with static plugged in only to a racial outlet. Some thought the friendly finance furniture company burnt higher. When a leopard print sofa with gold legs that makes into a bed caught fire, an admiring groan from the waiting horde said, absentee landlord, you got that shit. Lighting 100 watts, Detroit, Newark, New York. Screeching nerves, exploding minds, lives tied to a policeman's whistle and a welfare worker's doorbell finger. Hospitality Southern style, corn pone grits and you all smile. Whole blocks novi, brand new stars, policemen caught in their brand new cars. Chugga chugga chigga, get me one nigga, looting and burning, he won't get far. Watermelons, summer ripe, gray neck bones and boiling tripe. Supermarket roasting like the noonday sun. National Guard nervous with his brand new gun. Goose that motor quicker. Here's my nigger picker. Shoot him in the belly. Shoot him while he runs. Well, okay. Do the what? This is called The Calling of Names. And there is a fashion that is a bit tedious. I'm being kind. It's really tedious. It's dreary. That this person is blacker than that one, or this one is, you know, all the, I don't know. One spends a lot of energy, awful lot of energy, which could be directed to something more constructive. There are fashions in words, just as far back as you want to go, names we have been called. And I wrote a poem called The Calling of Names. He went to being called a colored man after answering to, hey, nigga, now that's a big jump any way you figure. Hey, baby, watch my smoke. From colored man to Negro with the N in caps, was like saying Japanese instead of saying Japs, I mean during the war. The next big step was a change for true, from Negro in caps to being a Jew, now saying Yiddish your mama. Light, yellow, brown, and dark brown skin were okay colors to describe him then. He was a bouquet of roses. He changed his seasons like an almanac, and now you get cut if you don't call him black, and nigga, I ain't playing this time. My guilt is slavery's chains. Too long the clang of irons fall down the years. This brother's sold. This sister's gone. That's bitter wax lining my ears. And my guilt made music with the tears. My crime is heroes dead and gone. Dead Vesey, Turner, Gabriel. Dead Malcolm, Marcus, Martin King. They fought too hard. They loved too well. My crime is I'm alive to tell. My sin is hanging from a tree. I do not scream. It makes me proud. I take to dying like a man. I do it to impress the crowd. My sin lies in not screaming loud. Okay, one more, and then what? I mean, is it customary that, yeah, okay, we'll talk, I'll do this last one. What, you better shut up down there. This is called No, 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 No. No, the two-legged beasts that walk like men play stink finger in their crusty asses, while crackling babies in napalm coats stretch mouths to receive burning tears on splitting tongues. Just give me a cool drink of water before I die. No, the gap-legged whore of the eastern shore enticing Europe to come in her and turns her pigeon ship back to me who stoked the coal that drove the ships which brought her over the sinuous cemetery of my many brothers. No, the cocktailed afternoons of what can I do in my white-ladied pink world? I've let your men cram my mouth with their black throbbing hate I swallowed after. I've let your mammies steal from my kitchens. I was always half amused. I've chuckled the chins of your topsy-haired pickaninnies. And now what can I do? I'll never be black like you. Hallelujah. No, the red-shoed priest riding palanquined in barefoot children country. The plastered saints gaze down beneficently on kneeling mothers picking undigested beans from yesterday's shit. I have waited, toes curled, hat rolled, heart and genitals in hand on the back porches of forever, in the kitchens and fields of rejection, on the cold marble steps of America's great white outhouse, in the drop seats of buses and the open flies of wars. No more the dream that you will cease haunting me down in fetid swamps of fear and will turn to embrace your own humanity, which I am. No more the hope that razored insults which mercury slide over your tongue will be forgotten and you will learn the words of love. Mother, brother, father, sister, lover, friend. My hopes dying slowly, rose petals falling beneath an autumn red moon will not adorn your unmarked graves. And my dreams lying quietly, a black pool beneath the trees, will not carry your name to a forgetful shore. And what a pity that pity has folded in upon itself, an old man's mouth whose teeth are gone, and I have no pity. Now that the work is done, and we can talk. I don't know if you have any questions. Please.
I would like to know whose name the man
is. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Yes. Yes, please.
Nina Simone.
I'm sorry?
Nina Simone.
Yes.
The other song that you had written for her.
Yes. Well, I've written quite a few things for Nina. I think, I don't know.
I'm your mystery.
I'm your mystery. That. Yeah, that's bad. Ooh, it's bad. There's a one which she's doing now. I talked with her a few days ago. She's doing it. It says, Sunday after meeting, sad with your man. Sweet potato pie when you eat it from the pan. Now ain't that bad, and ain't that black, and ain't that fine. Right. Dancing the funky chicken, eating ribs and tips, digging all the new sounds, drinking gin and sips. Now ain't that bad, and ain't that black, and ain't that fine. You can offer me a ride on your jelly roll, but I wouldn't take nothing for my big black soul. Now ain't that bad, and ain't that black, and ain't that fine. Putting down that do-rag and tightening up my fro, wrapping up in blackness, it makes me shine and glow. And ain't that bad, and ain't that black, and ain't that black, and ain't that bad, and ain't that bad, and ain't that black, and ain't that fine. Yeah, she's bad. I can't wait to hear her sing it, you know, because I know she takes it right out, you know.
She, right,
no, I didn't, but she did ask for it. I don't know if she'll do it or not.
Yeah,
so,
like
I don't know. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, that's, I'm your mystery. Let me see, it says, I'm more beautiful than the sunrise, or so ugly that you run. And you can't see me, although I'm standing in the sun. But I don't cast no shame, and ain't no blame in the game, because I really see that I'm your mystery. And other verses which I've forgotten. And no. I wrote it just for her. Yeah. I just wrote a song for Roberta Flack, some for her. But one, I saw two kids in London about, 6 weeks ago, I guess. They were sitting on the sidewalk with their backs against the wall. They were long-haired kids, and I had so internalized, included the fact of their existence in my society that I had never thought to write anything about them, you know? But then I saw people walking over these young people and looking at them like they were vermin. I thought, wait just a minute. Damn, there's somebody in there, you know? How you gonna do that? So I wrote a song, which Roberta is going to record. Let's see. I'll sing it if I can.
It's hard to give it a try.
When you see him on the freeway hitching rides with his girl and his guitar by his side, you ought to ask, what's all the hopping and the puffing and the warring and the jarring all about? Take time out. When you see him with a band around his head and an army surplus bunk that makes his bed, you ought to ask, what's all the killing and the thrilling and the lying and the dying all about? Take time out. Take a minute, feel some sorrow for the folks who think tomorrow is a place that they can call up on the phone. Take a minute, feel some kindness for the folks who think that blindness is an illness that affects the eyes alone. When you see him walking barefoot in the rain, and you know he's tripping on a one-way train, you ought to ask, what's all the bleeding and the needing and the beating and the cheating and the killing and the thrilling all about? Take time out. Yeah. Well, I was just about to lose something, or a lady was really pressing on, you know, in my area, and I wanted to tell her, but I thought the hippest thing was to write a poem and show it to my gentleman. It worked. Oh, I think it worked. You did. Please. It does not. What bookstore? I suppose all the bookstores. Huh?
Marcus on
McAllister. Brentano's, I'm sure. Oh, really? I don't know. I mean,
let me don't go away.
Partially in answer to the question, after the reading this afternoon, Maya Angelou is going to be at Dalton's Bookshop in Stonestown at 49, number 49 on the Stonestown Mall, to autograph copies of her book. So I think, so you want to get over there right after this afternoon's program.
$4.95. Okay, the other question, excuse me. Well, the film, it was, of course, very interesting to do a black film in the whitest country in the world. I mean, that's got to be a trip right there. And the film stars Diana Sands. And because it's the first film written by a black woman, there's intrigue as lumpy as gravy. So, I was so busy trying to hold my perspective clear that I didn't really get a chance to enjoy. There was no time to enjoy Sweden. I wrote the score while we were filming, so that we were almost finished filming before we had a chance to record the score. The Swedish television people and movie people are underwritten by the government. They don't have to go around hustling up money. So their government, they just take a project prospectus to Swedish television, a film institute, and the institute gives them the money. So they can take a year to make a film. So they have a different pace than we had, you know? I mean, we were very tight and small money, shoestring budget. So that was different for us. And it was difficult to get them to catch the urgency that we had going. So they'd say, okay, well, we'll be there about 4 o'clock or six, if not eight, maybe tomorrow. So that was really quite a trip. I'm going to direct in the spring. Get down. Is that bad? Right. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
What boosts your ego to write your book? Who told you was bad or what?
Ah, that's great. Well. Well, I tell you, if Mark Twain says, if you'll have a man enslaved, the first thing you must do is convince yourself the man is subhuman. The second thing you must do is convince your allies the man is subhuman. But the third and the unkindest cut of all is to convince that man that he's subhuman and deserves his enslavement. Well, once I heard that as a young person, and I heard a line from Terence, the Greek dramatist, who many years BC wrote, I am a human, therefore nothing human can be alien to me. And when I found that Terence, the name, all one ever hears is Terence, but his name is Terence of Afer. So Terence was an African. Well, came up with something that bad that long ago. So I thought, there's nothing I can't do, and I believe it. I'm absolutely convinced that I represent the best in human beings, as I believe, mind you, I believe that of everyone, depending upon how much you project it. You know? So I don't indulge man-made barriers between human beings, made barriers made for somebody else's convenience or because of somebody else's ignorance. I don't indulge race barriers, age barriers, generate, none of that, none. No. Don't have it. Ain't no time. There's no time. Okay. No, I don't know about genius, but I.
I think it was, but it was a beautiful statement.
I know that a diamond is a result of extreme pressure. Less pressure is crystal. Lot less is cold. Lot less is fossilized leaves. I know that the pearl is a result of the oyster dealing with an irritant. The oyster deals with that grain of sand, covers it, and covers it, and covers it, and finally has there's a lustrous pearl. I don't know how much the oyster enjoys the pearl, but it certainly keeps it from dying in that shell by coping, putting that nacre over and over. So I believe that energy, it might be necessary to encounter defeats. You must never be defeated. That's all. You bite that bullet. They shoot it in your mouth, bite. Bite it. So, yes? I know, a movie. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Hey. Hey. Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I don't really have a best. I mean, it depends on the mood I'm in, you know? It depends on the mood I'm in. Sometimes I read my work. I love Paul Ernst Dunbar very much. I love Gwendolyn Brooks' work. And John Donnell Lee is out. And the best living poet, I think, is Leroy Jones.
Right.
Best living poet. Not black, not American, just best living poet to me. Is Leroy Jones, because I understand, I hear something from what he said.
I believe that he said it was kind of difficult writing I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Kind of difficult.
Going over Do you think you'll have the same difficulty?
With the film? No. I'm once removed from it. I have other pieces of work that have happened in between, you see. So even in talking about casting the film, I don't mention the girl as Maya. I say the girl and so forth. So it's over there somewhere. I think I'll be able to do it without it tearing me apart. Yes, please.
Is all your poetry based on things that you things you've experienced or things that you've seen?
Yes. Lived.
Are you working on something in
there? Yes. Well, I've got to write the screenplay for Caged Bird. And I have a new book I want to get out sometime in the spring. It's called, I hope, it's the working title is Gather Together in My Name. And the heroine is a heroin addict. I believe that we do something wrong about dope. If we saw a human being swallowed by a boa constrictor, I don't care who he is, you'd pick up the book and strike the boa constrictor. But we see people being swallowed by something much more lethal, much more pervasive than constrictors. And we say that's the whole man. The dope plus the man equals the man. That's like saying this table plus this picture equals the table. There is something, we are looking at this thing completely wrong. And I don't know, it's just that what I want to do in the piece of fiction is I want to examine what people along this girl's road did not discharge their human responsibility to her. So that's the new work.
Where are you from?
I was born in St. Louis. I grew up in a little town in Arkansas about as large as this side of the room and San Francisco. But I've lived in Africa many years. And I just moved back to Berkeley. I think it's probably the Bay Area is probably the last bastion of civilization in the United States. About 5.5 years. I lived in Cairo for 2 years and in Ghana for about 3.5. Excuse me. I want Abby Lincoln to play the mother. Robert Hooks to play the father, Minnie Gentry to play the mama, the grandmother. There's a young boy named Kyle Johnson who was in The Learning Tree.
Yeah.
I'd like him to play the brother, and I don't know who to play the girl yet.
Let me do it.
What kind of music?
I want to
write
it. I'm going to write, I hope. I'll use, of course, some spirituals, because there are quite a few scenes in the church and having to do with church. and I'll use standard spiritual.
Were you in Ghana when they filmed So and So?
No, no. I haven't even seen it yet. Yes, please.
What is it like? Especially in Ghana.
I feel when I'm not in Ghana that I'm in transit. I really do. And I'm home because I believe I have something to say. And I think I better try to say it here. But I've never been at home before. In Arkansas, we were known as Mrs. Henderson's California grandchildren. We came out here and I was Southern, or from, Arkansas. I never felt at home in Europe or in the United States or even in North Africa. Until when I went to Ghana, I was at home. It's the idea of mystifying and mythifying Africa is very serious. I mean, I'd like to deal with it seriously. It is not that paradise. I don't mean that. There are difficulties. There are difficulties anywhere. I think it's dangerous to say everything African is great. That's baloney. On the other hand, in Ghana, it's against the law to call a man a fool. You can go to jail. To jail. And the charge is assault with the tongue. That's right. You can go to jail for pushing, for threatening to push. So we can see where signifying came from. Signifying is a Black American art. White Americans, most generally don't even know about it, let alone do it. But in Ghana, because you can't just come out and call somebody a fool or anything but what a human being can be. You can call him stingy, unkind, whatever, but you can't call him beast, you can't say you dog, anything like that. So you can hear these ladies in the market signifying, what? Take the skin off. And you dare not say anything. Because if you say anything, everyone else says, but you're the one, huh? Did she call your name? Then you must be the one. So it's a gentle kind of atmosphere. I love it very much. That's the answer to that. Yes, I'm coming. Now, please, let me take another question, and then I'll ask you to excuse me. Let me get right back. Thank you. Let's see. Is that it?
No, I want about love and get paid.
Love and get paid?
Is that good?
Oh! I tell you, she's there. Ladies and gentlemen. You see, you better write that poem, Love and Get Paid. Ladies and gentlemen, again, yes. There is an album of my poetry out with me reciting. It's called The Poetry of Maya Angelou. It's on the GWP label.
Is that really your name or,
Yes, it is. I married a man whose name was Angelou. And my brother gave me the name Maya, so it's my name. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much. Thank you very much.